Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at another servant of God today, another example of the mindset that Paul is talking about here. Philippians chapter 2, going to be going verses 25 through 30 today. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 25. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Concerning him, then, in the Lord, receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this example of a faithful man. Father, thank you that you have worked in his life, and you worked in his life in specific ways. It wasn't as you work in others, but it was how you worked in him. And I praise you, Father, that you work in each one of us individually. Lord, and you desire us individually, and yet you tell us to be together corporately so that we can encourage each other, so that we can uplift each other as we live on this earth. Father, I pray that we would be looking for opportunities to show you to others, so that, Father, your word says you'll give us the will and the way. You'll give us the desire and the opportunity. So, Father, I pray that we would just have our eyes open, that we would be looking for that. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen all of us who are crackpots. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We love you. Ask that you would show us from your word, your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians, excuse me, we know that Paul wrote the book, and he wrote it to a church who needed some encouragement because they were having personal difficulties. They were having preference difficulties, not doctrinal issues, but preference problems. They had some infighting going on. And he wrote it with the theme of having joy as a Christian mental attitude. Have joy in every situation. And he told them how thankful he was for them. But his confidence wasn't in them, it was in God. He had a lot of confidence in them because he had confidence in what God was going to do through them. He had chosen him, and he would finish his work. But he's also thankful for them. And he has so much love for them, and he knows their love for him. Excuse me. But he's praying for them. And his prayer was that love would abound, would overflow. But then he gives them some admonitions. He tells them to have, he ends up telling them to have the mindset of Christ. Christ, who was deity, saw his deity and his humanity, but we also saw his humility. And the fact that he was, he had taken on a human body. So we saw that, and he humbled himself even to death on the cross. He says, you are to show others that type of mindset, that humility. And then he gives examples. He gives his own life, Paul's life, and he says, look, I'm being poured out as a drink offering, but yours is the greater offering, the sacrifice and service of your faith. But then he gives what we looked at last week as Timothy's example. example of a young pastor who had his prodigy, who had followed him around for 10 years and learned of him. And yet, when Paul wrote him in Timothy, he had to deal with specific problems, issues, and youthful lusts and such. So we have someone like Timothy, the example in Timothy, who had that mindset of Christ. But today what we're going to look at is someone else, Epaphroditus, who has that mindset like Christ did. First thing we're going to look at is his character. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all, was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." Epaphroditus, the name means charming or loved one, belonging to. Literally, it meant favored by Aphrodite. So because you have, and Aphrodite was the goddess of love. So because you have a guy whose name meant favored by the goddess of love, you can assume he probably wasn't born into a Christian family. Wasn't born into a family that worshiped God. But he was very learned in Greek culture, which Epaphrodite was a Greek goddess of love. So just like Timothy, he had come up knowing Greek culture. He knew the people where... He was in Philippi. He knew the people. And then he was also where he went with Paul. He knew this culture. He knew the people. But Paul said, "I thought it necessary." And when he says necessary, it means essential. In fact, that word is has a sense of urgency to it. Paul says, I want to keep him. He's been a great help, and we'll see that. But he says, "This is so necessary that I send him to you. I've got to send him to you." He knew that Epaphroditus needed to be home more than he needed to stay with Paul. And it shows his admiration, but he also shows his admiration by what he says about him. Look at the character traits that Paul gives about the guy. He says, "My brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, my brother." And that word brother, it meant from the same womb. Now we know he wasn't his physical brother, but he was his spiritual brother. Just like we, if you have trusted Christ, we are spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't matter what your age is. Well, Paul considered him as close as a brother because he was a Christian, because of who he was. A very close relationship. The fact that they're related in Christ. But not only that, but a fellow worker. And the word fellow worker is a compound word. It means alongside of and to work to the point of exhaustion. So Epaphroditus was there working with Paul. Now I want you to see it wasn't working for Paul. And Paul wasn't working for him. It was a co-working. They were working together. And they were doing so to share the gospel, to spread the gospel, to... In fact, what was Paul doing right there? Paul was in prison, right? In his own rented quarters, but he was chained to a guard. And so he wasn't out preaching. He wasn't out teaching. He wasn't out holding an evangelistic crusade. He was in prison. And Epaphroditus was there meeting his needs. But he was working hard at it. Somehow he was working hard. In fact, look at the next thing. He said, "and fellow soldier." And that word soldier means to struggle. Really, a hard struggle. So what was he struggling in? We're not told. But we know that he was there, and Paul was extremely impressed with the fact that he was working hard and struggling. And in fact, struggling to the point where he became sick, and we'll look at that. But these are the characteristics that Paul chooses that affect him. But he says, not only does he have character with me, he's got character with you. Look what he says. He says, "who is also your messenger and minister to my need." He is your messenger. The word messenger there is the word apostolos. It's the word we get our word apostle from. So in the same way that Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, in the same way that Peter was an apostle or a a disciple. It doesn't mean that Epaphroditus was one of the apostles. It means that he had the same type of calling. Because the word apostle means sent one who is sent. And so Epaphroditus was sent. He was sent to help Paul, but he was sent with a gift for Paul, and he was the gift for Paul. He was sent with a monetary gift, but he was also sent by the church as he himself would be a gift, because he could feed him, he could bring him what he needs, he could be there with the parchments, he could help in his writing. All of that was a gift. He was an apostle of sorts. He wasn't one of the apostles, one of the originals, but he was an apostle of sorts. He was a sent one. Not only that, but he was a minister. The word minister we talked about a few weeks ago. It's that word liturgikos, which we get our word liturgical from. You have specific things that happen with the priest in those days. The priest would have a specific deal that he would do. He would do the showbread, or he would kill the animal, or he would bleed, have the catch the blood, and sprinkle the blood on the altar. And all right, so they were what we call liturgical things that he would do. And Paul has such a high admiration for him. He says, "Look, he's just like the priest. He's doing what God desires of him to do." So Paul's admiration was great for his own, his spiritual character and how he helped him, but also his spiritual character and how he was helping the church that he came from. Not only that, but there was another aspect. Look at verse 26. "Because he was longing for you all and was distressed." He was longing for you all. Compassion. There's a heart of compassion there. Epaphroditus didn't just have compassion on Paul because Paul was this great writer. He was this great one that God had used so abundantly. But he had compassion on his home church. He had compassion on the people that had sent him. So much so that he was longing and distressed. And the word longing is yearning. It can actually be yearning, a deep desire, a deep devotion. And not only that, but in the tense that it's in the Greek, it means it's happened over and over in the past, but it's a participle. It's continuing on. So his longing for them is continuing on. It's yearning for them. He has a heart of compassion for them. But for a reason, right? Because they had heard. What's it say? Verse 26. "Because you had heard that he was sick." I want you to see here that he wasn't disturbed and he wasn't yearning for them because he was sick. And he was sick to the point of death. We'll see that. But he wasn't yearning for them because he was sick. He wasn't yearning for them because he was in a lousy situation where he had to take care of Paul, and he was in around guards all the time who could beat on him for any reason. And he was around the whole Roman culture, which I'm sure he hated. But he wasn't yearning for them because of his situation. He was yearning for them because of their situation. Because they were concerned about him. And he wanted to alleviate that. And that word, that whole aspect of yearning, it was like he was homesick. It's as close as we can come, except it wasn't because he just wanted to go home. He was homesick for his people. The people that he loved, the people that he was ministering on behalf of. Right? So he had that type of heart. Paul is he loves the fact that he's there. And he's highly impressed with Epaphroditus in what he is, his character traits. But if you go on, look at his sacrifice. Verse 27. "For indeed he was sick to the point of death." He was sick. And we don't know what sickness he had, but we know it's to the point of death. The word "point of death" literally means a neighbor to death. In other words, death was right there. So he could have died. He probably should have died. He was that sick. But it says, "But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me." But God had mercy. I want you to see that. Because if you remember Paul's life and his ministry, what had Paul done? He had gone around preaching the gospel, teaching and starting churches, but he had healed a lot of people. And he had healed a lot of people to show that his message was true. That the message, this new message he was giving was true. But he didn't heal him. Paul couldn't heal himself. Paul could not heal Epaphroditus. We're never told that Paul healed him. It says God had mercy on it. And isn't that great when it says, but God. Here's the bad situation. Here's the hard situation. He was sick and he was to the point of death. But God. But God had mercy. And I want you to see that. I would love to spend like 3 sermons on the fact that, on his character one, and then also on the fact of mercy. On how God shows his mercy. And it's not grace here. This is his mercy. The fact that he is not giving us what we deserve. The fact that he didn't give him what he deserved in that sickness. Whatever it was, he should have died. Deserved to die, but he didn't allow it. He had mercy. And then Paul says again, but also on me. But God had mercy on him. But God also had on me. Uses that same word. And that word means on the complete other hand. So here, Epaphroditus was sick, but on the complete other hand, God had mercy. And on the complete other hand, he had mercy on me. So that I would not have what? What it says, sorrow upon sorrow. You know, I looked up that word, and it's the picture that I got from that is the waves. One time when we were in Florida, I don't know, a lot of years ago, we were on Hollywood Beach, which is real close to Miami Beach, I guess, just north of Miami Beach. And it's real pretty. It's really pretty. White sands, you know, palm trees, and you have that nice blue water. And I'm looking out there, and nobody was swimming. I'm going, that's weird. You know, because it's so pretty and everything. I walked over there. I got to looking at it, and the waves were coming in. It was just like, and you went out and stood in those waves. You would not want to swim, and you couldn't swim in it. You'd get knocked over. These are big waves, and they come in, but they kept coming, and then they wait, and then the next one would come, and the next one would come. It wasn't like, well, here's a big wave. Okay, now it's fine. And that's the picture. Paul said, no, it would have been wave after wave after wave of sorrow. But God had mercy. But God showed me. This is what I deserved. It's what should have happened. But God stopped that from happening so that I wouldn't have that to worry about. So that I wouldn't have that on my heart and on my mind. That was the... And why? Look what he says. Therefore, I have sent him, verse 28, I sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. So there's 2 reasons. So you can rejoice and I won't be concerned about you. Right? So this is the background of Epaphroditus. This is what's going on. Paul says, you know, I would rather keep him. I like him. You sent him to help me. And he's a fellow worker. He's a fellow soldier. He struggles for it. But I don't want to be concerned about you. And I also don't want to be concerned about him. And he is longing for you. His compassion for you is great. So I'm eager to send him. And he was telling them this because why had Epaphroditus come? And we're going to see this point in a minute too. Why had Epaphroditus come? He was sent, an apostolos. He was sent by this church. And if he would have come home early, what are these church people going to say? Oh, they're already having preference issues. They're already having personal issues going on. Oh, what's the matter with him? Did he chicken out? Oh, did he get scared just because he got sick? Oh, yeah, we were worried about him when he got sick. Now he's home. He can't help them at all. He can't help Paul. And he can't do... Okay, so Paul is alleviating that. So, look, I'm eager to send him back. Because I don't want to worry about him. I don't want to worry about you. But I'm eager to send him back because I know you're going to rejoice. You can rejoice that he's okay. But he goes on because Paul then says, look, I want you to have this reception for him. Epaphroditus' reception. Look at verse 29. It says, receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard. Receive him. That word receive, you know, in Romans chapter 5, in chapter 4 we have pisao, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 5, lambano, receive him, to grasp, to take hold of, to hold tightly to. That's not this word. This word is not the action of receiving. He's not saying when he comes home, grab hold of him and hold tightly to him. It's not the action of the word. Literally, this word is a different word. It's the way he should be received. It's the attitude behind it, the emotion behind it. So he's saying, look, receive him in the Lord. Number one, dependence on the Lord, but with joy. With joy. So when he comes home, grab him with joy. Take him with joy. Let joy be your reception, because there may have been problems before when you left, or it may have been problems with him coming home early. But Paul wanted to clear that up. He says, have high regard for him. Uplift him. Uplift him in his character. Esteem him rightly. Look what it says in verse 30. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. He came close to death. The word close to death was the work of the Lord. We don't know exactly what it was. We don't know why he was sick, but we do know it wasn't just a natural sickness. It wasn't just, well, he got cancer somehow. Or he was out gathering twigs and tripped. A snake bit him. We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know it was because of his work in the Lord. Look what it says. For the work of the Lord, risking his life for the work of the Lord. So this was his thought process. This was his character. He wanted to work for the Lord. It wasn't even to work for Paul, but it was to work for the Lord. Somehow it brought on injury, or because of the conditions he had to endure, whatever. But look at that word risking. Risking his life. That's an interesting word. It's actually a gambling term. It's a gambling term. It means to cast down or throw down, throw the dice down. It also means to throw your bet down, throw the bet down, or to go all in. You ever heard of that term? Go all in. That means take all the money in front of you, stick it in. Okay, I want to go all in. And that was the term. And in fact, later on, what I found out in William Barclay, it says, soon after the New Testament times, a group of Christians banded together in an association they called parabolani, which is the Greek word for this term, receive, or risking. Parabolani. That's what they called themselves, this association, which means the gamblers. Taking Epaphroditus as their model, they visited prisoners, ministered to the sick, especially those with dangerous communicable diseases, whom no one else would help. They boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. So there was a group of people, there was a group of Christians afterwards that took that word and took Epaphroditus and said, hey, we're going to go and help people who live with leprosy, people who have huge problems. Nobody else wants to be around. We're going to go help them. Taking his example. So whatever he did, came close to death for, was because he risked his life for it. Okay? So that's the heart he had. That's what Paul was dealing with. And he says at the end, he says, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. And that doesn't mean that what they sent was deficient. That doesn't mean that he didn't appreciate their gift. It just meant they couldn't be there. They had sent the gift, they had sent Epaphroditus. He was there representing them. They were deficient and they couldn't be there, but he was sufficient in that he came. He was doing that. Okay? Now, take all of that. So we've looked at this character. We say, so what? What can we take away from this? Well, it's an example of the mindset that Paul is talking about. I would love to dissect this thing, take a month and go over it, because this guy is amazing and all the what God's doing. But it's an example of that mindset. Remember what Paul said back in verse 5? In verse 5, it says, have this attitude in yourself, this mindset which was in Christ Jesus. Okay, so Christ was humble. He took on a humble mindset. We figured out that's what that mindset is. And you say, okay, Jesus, well, he's the Son of God. And so he's the Son of God. I mean, we can't possibly take that as an example. Okay, and then Paul says, okay, look at my life. Well, Paul was greatly used of God. He was And, you know, he had come out of an amazing situation. God spoke to him, and he wrote at least 13 books of the Bible. So how can we compare ourselves there? Well, okay, Timothy. We can get closer with Timothy. I mean, he was a young pastor. He dealt with youthful lust. He dealt with his confidence level was way low. He dealt with all of those things. We understand that. But he was still a pastor. I mean, look at the guy. But here we go with Epaphroditus. Who was Epaphroditus? We have no idea what he did. All we know is that this church trusted him with a bunch of money, sent him to Paul, took care of whatever needs his family had so that he could go. And he went faithfully, and he worked at it, and he struggled with it, and he even risked his life so much that he almost died. But he was a faithful man. He wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't a great writer of Scripture. He wasn't even a pastor or a prodigy of Paul. All he was a faithful steward. Folks, he was just like us. He was just ordinary, just like we are. But he was faithful to the situation that God put him into. He was willing to give up his rights for Christ, wanting to further the cause of Christ. To me, he's a great example to follow because he's someone that we can truly relate to. He cared for the people of his church. He cared for them. In fact, he was working and struggling for Christ, but he gave up of himself to serve. There's what that mindset leads to. Mindset of humility, it leads to service. He gave up of himself to serve. So, begs the question, what do we give up to serve? What do we give up to serve? Our time, our energy, our what we'd rather be doing, what we could be doing, what do we give up to serve? Look at what Epaphroditus did. And yet, when he was serving in the midst of his serving, he was still longing for his folks. He wasn't worried about himself being sick. He wasn't worried about the conditions he had to live in. He was longing for their well-being of mind because they had heard he was sick. But he was there to serve. So folks, what I want you to see is having this mindset of Christ, having this mindset of humility leads us to act. And those actions are to serve. Leads us to yield to Christ and to serve him. But there is no way that you can unless you know him. So the first order of business is to come to know him. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he wants you as his child. He desires you. And he wants to work through. He wants you to learn to yield and to serve to serve him because he wants to work through you to accomplish his will. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, please, I would love to show you in God's Word how you can have a relationship with him. If you have, then know this. Your acts of service will show others Jesus Christ. Your life of service to him will show others your dependence on him, will show others who Jesus Christ is. I have neighbors who will never step foot in this church. I have people I know who would never come to this church or any church. But they will watch me. They will listen as I talk. They will watch how I do business, whatever. And if I'm not yielded to him, if I'm not yielded to Christ and not serving, guess what? They say, just like everybody else. Just like any. So God must not mean too much. No. No, he does. But Epaphroditus knew that and he showed that. So there's an example we can grab and take hold of. An example of that mindset that Paul says, take this, because this is what's true. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, who are we? Lord God, we're here on this earth and we're gone. It's like a vapor. Life is like a vapor for us. And we think we're so great. And everybody else doesn't. Don't know why they don't think we're so great, because we do. But Lord God, you are great. And you have been great through the ages. And Father, you are the one who we do desire to show others. And you want us to live your life so that others might see that and desire to know you, because you want others to know you. You want to know the world. You have reconciled the world to yourself. Father, the world hasn't reconciled you to them. But Lord, they need to see it. So Father God, I pray that we would take Epaphroditus here and we would take that example and have that type of character, faithfulness, and Lord, being true to you and looking at our own life to serve, serving others by serving you, loving others, having a deep love for each other here in our church, but also a desire to accomplish your will. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for the heart that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.